This is the Banner of Truth broadcast, a program sponsored by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Pastor Hans Overdoen speaking. Listen to what Jesus says in Luke 11, verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? What a promise is given here. Let us notice, in fact, and here Jesus gives us a promise that is climactic, dramatic, and emphatic. My prayer with this message is that God will so bless His Word that this climactic, dramatic, and emphatic promise will overwhelm your soul in prayer and praise to God Triune. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? From the context of this verse, we can learn that this is indeed a climactic promise. By climactic, I mean, here Jesus comes to a climax of what he has been saying. This is the high point of his instruction to his disciples concerning prayer. And what a climax it is. Let me explain further. The chapter Luke 11, and it would be good if you had it open before you, begins with the disciples seeing Jesus pray and asking him to teach them how to pray. In verses 2 to 4, then, Jesus teaches the content of prayer as expressed in the Lord's Prayer. He follows that with a call for persistence in prayer in verses 5 to 10. And then in verses 11 to 13, Jesus makes clear God's faithfulness in response to prayer. Now think of this as if you were in his audience when he gave this divine instruction. First, Jesus teaches you what to pray. Then, with a parable of sorts in verses 5 to 8, he tells a simple story to drive home the point that prayer must be persistent and that God is always ready to give. The story is about people living in a small village with no 24-hour 7-Elevens, and where people in the morning of every day baked and planned most of their food for each day. Jesus tells us about a man who had a traveling friend come unexpectedly at night, and the man's daily food supply for his household was all gone. The man wants to feed his guest and show good hospitality, like we all like to do. But being without bread, he was in a bind. So he goes to another friend for 3 small loaves of bread. But it was already midnight, and that second householder had shut his door and gone to bed with his family. In a one-room house, getting up from bed would disturb the whole family, you understand. But the friend needing the bread is persistent, as Jesus tells us. He will not go away, nor will he let his friend go back to sleep. And now, says Jesus, where friendship couldn't prevail, his importunity or bold persistence wins the day. And Jesus' lesson with this is plain, isn't it? We must not give up in prayer to God too easily and quickly. If persistence succeeds so well between man and man, how much more may we expect to obtain mercies when persistence is used in prayer to God? God, who has and does reveal himself as an overflowing fountain of good to all who call on him. Jesus then follows the parable in glowing crescendo with those well-known words, "Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." Jesus stresses here the effectiveness of persevering prayer to God. Notice how even the words ask, seek, and knock are arranged in a rising scale of intensity. Jesus instructs us so to come to God in and through him, asking, seeking, and knocking at his door, and you shall not be left unanswered. Oh no, God is both most able and willing to hear us and help us in all our needs. And he is never bothered by our coming to him. And he is never out of supplies for us in all our needs. That is what Jesus stresses in the text passage with climactic force. Yes, for after the parable and some application of it, Jesus moves on to ask in verses 11 to 12, what human father will not give what his children ask for and need as he is able? What father, being evil by nature even, will give harmful things like a serpent or a scorpion when a child asks for something good to eat? Hardly any human father would do that, right? And now, says Jesus, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Yes, if men who are sinners by nature do not harm their children normally, but do good to them, how much more will God the Father from heaven, who is free from all evil, and is in fact the source of all goodness, how much more shall he not give, what, says Jesus, the Holy Spirit, to them that ask him? In the parallel passage in Matthew 7:11, it says, God will give good gifts to those who ask him. But Luke knows Jesus also said the Father will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. And Luke sees the gift of the Spirit as man's highest good, as indeed he is. For all other goods in life's journey, for you and me, flows out from the Holy Spirit being given to us and abiding with us. You can have all the riches in the world, but without the Holy Spirit, you are hopelessly poor and blind in sin, and destined to perish forever. But with the Holy Spirit and his renewing work in us, leading us to Christ the Savior in the way of faith and repentance, oh, you become so rich and blessed, not just for this life, but for eternal life too. Indeed, words cannot express it, how the Holy Spirit is the highest good for sure. The Holy Spirit is true and co-eternal God with the Father and the Son. And when he is with you and in you, he works especially by means of the gospel to make you by a true faith partaker of Christ and all his benefits, that he may comfort you and abide with you forever. Dear listener, when you think of this gift of the Holy Spirit, do you too agree that he has to be the greatest good for you and me in this life and in this world? As a person dead in sins and trespasses by nature, blind to the truths of the gospel left to ourselves, does it echo in your heart too, as someone said, and I quote, the Holy Spirit is beyond doubt the greatest gift which God can bestow upon man. Having this gift, we have all things, light, life, hope, and heaven. Having this gift, we have God the Father's boundless love, God the Son's atoning blood, and full communion with all three persons of the Blessed Trinity. Having this gift, we have grace and peace in the world that now is, and glory and honor in the world to come. End of quote. And this mighty gift is freely held out by our Lord Jesus Christ as a gift to be obtained by prayer. What a promise he makes here, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. It's a climactic promise for sure, when you think of its context, its content, and its urgency. And move on now to the second main point, namely, that here we have a dramatic as well as a climactic promise. The dictionary defines dramatic as something filled with action, emotion, or exciting qualities, vivid and striking. Well, for sure, our text passage with its concluding promise in verse 13 is dramatic in every way of that dictionary meaning. Even think about the story and the comparisons Jesus makes coming to it in the preceding verses. I already spoke of the two friends in that one village. You can picture the whole story in your mind. But take now and imagine this other comparison Jesus makes. A child asks for a fish. Can you picture that instead a father would give him or her a serpent or poisonous snake? Imagine receiving from your dad, instead of bacon and eggs, spiders and scorpions. You say, ah, don't mention it even. Jesus wasn't being so dramatic here, just for show. But he would make clear, as much as my picture illustrations drive home one truth, realize this other truth, and take it to heart, each and every one. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? The comparisons Jesus makes are dramatic and drive home the gospel truth that God is so good and gracious to all who call upon him in spirit and in truth. This promise is a climactic promise and dramatic promise, yes, and an emphatic promise too. By emphatic, I simply mean the promise of Luke 11:13 comes with such a pointed gospel offer that who can be left without excuse before God, especially all those who are under the preaching and teaching of the gospel? That question, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him, is a question that is without answer and makes clear the abundance of salvation in and through Christ. Think of it. Here Jesus was on His way to the cross, about to obtain complete salvation for a sinful, undeserving people. And now Jesus, even before His crucifixion and resurrection, proclaims, God is so good and gracious to all who come to Him in their needs. And notice, Jesus knows right well we are all undeserving, condemnable sinners in and of ourselves. Even when He is talking of the good that men do and most fathers show, yet Jesus is not unmindful of the fact that people are basically, by nature, evil. Innate human sinfulness is for Jesus, as someone put it, a basic presupposition. Yet hear this gospel promise to lost, undeserving sinners, as we all are in ourselves. God the Father from heaven will surely give the greatest good and that which is most needful for us all, even as we call upon Him, asking, seeking, and knocking at His throne of grace. It's a climactic, dramatic, and emphatic promise for sure, for all who have ears to hear. This gospel promise is not limited to only a few either, but it is for all who are listening, even now. As J.C. Ryle put it, this promise is to be generally applied. I pray that no one will continue indifferent to this gospel text. With the promise of Luke 11:13 so climactic, dramatic, and emphatic, for sure someone listening should remain unregenerate and unsaved. It is only because in hardness of heart you want it that way. You have not because you ask not. But so to cling to your sins and sinfulness and what this world offers, which leads only to misery finally and eternally, is surely the most foolish and wicked thing that ever could be. Oh, that everyone also listening now would wake up to the gracious gospel call still freely offered to all before it is forever too late. The Holy Spirit leads sinners to Jesus, the only Savior given among men, whereby we must be saved. Luke 11:13 gives a climactic, dramatic, and emphatic promise from God the Savior that calls for praying earnestly and continually for the Holy Spirit to work and live in your heart and the hearts of others too. Do you pray for that sincerely, dear listener? The Holy Spirit causes totally depraved sinners to be born again, and not to be able to live apart from the Savior, and to walk in glad obedience to God's holy word. Pray for the Holy Spirit so to bless you, and guide you, and fill you, and many others too. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall God the Father from heaven give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Will you spend time alone with God today, with Luke 11:13 before you? Amen.